Well done, ladies. Thank you very much for that special. All right. Well, Merry Christmas again. Thanks for coming out. If you want to turn to the first passage, you could probably start with Genesis 1. I think we should be able to locate that one fairly easily. Starting with Genesis 1. And then if you want to put a marker, we'll find our way over to Luke 2 in just a little bit. We're going to go ahead and just open in prayer before we get started here. Father, once again, we just commit our time to you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, would you just allow me to speak clearly, convey your message, and Lord, that you would allow people to hear your message. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want a title for this morning, it would be A Day Like None Other. A Day Like None Other. Perhaps it could be said of many days. Maybe you've got some days that come to your mind going, whew, there's never been a day in my life like that. Well, this is a day in all of creation that is like none other. We're going to focus on one particular day, a day that there was no sunshine, and yet there was light. If you'd been there, you could have seen clearly, but the sun was not shining. If you'd been there, you could have seen clearly, yet what you would have seen was not real clear and orderly. The day like none other is recorded by our Creator himself for all mankind to know and understand some great truths that impacts us and shapes all eternity, past and future. According to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is God just states this so factually. It's just a fundamental truth. I don't think he ever intended, certainly not intended, that the created beings would question this such a fundamental, foundational truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He states it as a mere fact. There were no human witnesses, so who can deny it? They weren't there. Nevertheless, we do see the truth of this. And we see the results of it, and since obviously we didn't get here by ourselves, and we know matter just doesn't create itself, I don't have any problem believing this truth when you really just stop and think for a moment. And if you believe this fundamental truth, and then as you continue through Scripture, that gives you some foundational truth to believe the rest of Scripture too. By the same token, or from an alternate direction, if you believe the Jesus in this Bible, and you've come to know this Jesus, and oh, by the way, this same Jesus that we learn about in the Scriptures is the one who looks back and proclaims creation, yea, even to be the Creator himself, then maybe that's what causes you to believe all the rest of Scripture too. Both angles are right, and we need to believe all of Scripture. In verse 3, God records the following. He says, verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light." The words of God are very powerful. Very, very powerful. There's no other being in all of the universe that can speak a word and have this type of results. Nobody. No one but God himself. The word of God existed before Moses carved it on a stone. You know, we credit Moses as being the human author for the first 5 books of the Bible, do we not? Moses wasn't there. He wasn't a witness to all this. God, the Holy Spirit, taught him what to write, but the Word of God was already there. God proclaimed his Word, and that's how creation came to be. And so here we have God, the Creator, speaking a word, and there was light, indicating that before this, I guess there was no light. So this newly created heaven and earth had no light. In verse 4 and 5, we read, "And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. And in the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." All right? I don't know if you find this remarkable, but I do. So let me try to share a little bit about why I think you also ought to find this remarkable. See, part of the problem is we just take things for granted that we know. And things that we've heard all of our life, we just go, yeah, got it. Yep, I've heard that before. It's like, well, stop and think for a second. Go back and think about this, that you're going to have a day with no light, with no sunshine and no light. Because here's why it's somewhat remarkable. Because one, we've been taught and experienced the truth that every morning we get up and we see a sunrise shifting from night to day. I know some of you don't ever see the sunrise. It does come up every day. Okay, you might have to get up just a little bit earlier, but the sun is very remarkable to watch it come up. And it does cause me to remember my time in the Navy out at sea, because there's no trees, there's no hills, you just see the horizon out there. And when it's a clear day, you can see for a long ways, and you just see the sun come up, and it's beautiful, it's remarkable. And you just can't help but giving glory to God at the beautiful things that He's made. So that's why it's somewhat remarkable when we associate day and night with this sun rising and then setting. All right? So why is this so remarkable? What made this day like none other? Because there was no sun. There was no sun. We all know that the day is lit by the sunshine, right? That's where the light comes from. Yet there was no sun to shine. God didn't create it until day four. On day one, God created light. Day two, God created the firmament in the midst of the waters. Day three, God gathered the waters under the heavens so that we have dry land appeared. This dry earth then brought forth vegetation, so plants were created without sunshine. But there was light. There was light. It wasn't until day four that God created the two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. This greater light to rule the day is called the sun. And so from day one until day four, there was light without the sun. So when else in all of history, has there been a day where there was no sun, but there was light? Truly a day like none other. Now you're probably wondering, is that really the message? Okay, maybe that doesn't strike you. So let's go to the second part. Because part of the message is a day like none other and a more glorious night. So let's go to Luke 2 and talk about a more glorious night. And using the word more is dangerous when you're talking about the works of God. Perhaps it's not the right word to use, but I think you'll understand the use of it here. As we go to Luke 2, if you were here a week ago, you heard our family and Ms. Dola quoting this scripture. And so I'm going to read that portion to you again. It's a good thing to remember on Christmas Day. You know, refresh our memories of these details, especially if you haven't read it lately. And you are free to quote it with me. If you know this by heart and you want to quote it with me, by all means, you're welcome to do so. So Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary pondered these things, and kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And of course, this baby was born and his name was called Jesus. Jesus, meaning Savior. So Luke 2 records a night which perhaps was even more glorious than that day without sun, when there was light with no sun. So you've heard this account now. Was this not a glorious night? Was this not a night to remember? Did these shepherds, can you imagine the rest of their life? They could not have been the same. There's just no way. So unlike the day like none other, there were human witnesses. And if you had been there, you would have seen people and sheep all witnessing this more glorious night. Have you ever tried just imagining briefly being with those shepherds, one of those shepherds perhaps? We don't know all the details, but we do know this. It was night, and the shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. We know that the night is dark and the day is light. And just like God created in day one. But now we have the stars and the moon to light the night. But let's face it, even a bright night, even a full moon with bright shining stars is still dark in comparison to the day. This night, however, was about to be different from any other night these shepherds had ever witnessed in their whole life. The dark sky suddenly shone with a great light as the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You see, there was light with no sunshine. There was light with no sunshine, just like on day one. There was light with no sunshine. So where did this light come from? Verse 9 gives us the clue. It says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So the light came from the glory of the Lord. God created the light. He didn't need the sunshine to shine to make it bright, because He is light. He, by definition, is light. He called Himself light, the light of the world. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, read as follows. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Selah. What happens when mere mortals see the glory of the Lord? Fear. Fear. And they were sore afraid. The same response is seen in Isaiah when he saw the Lord. The same response, Daniel, when he's faced in the presence of the Lord. Mary, Joseph, John, all those when they're approached by the glory of the Lord himself or an angel of the Lord, they fear. Because why do they fear? Because when you start seeing Almighty God for who He is, then you can't help but see who you are. And let's face it, we don't measure up. We're a far cry from Almighty God. So when we see ourselves as we are, we see His holiness, and it exposes our sin. And there's reason to fear. When we see our sin exposed, and the fear and fear the consequences of being a sinner in the presence of a holy God, we expect to be destroyed. Or we should. If we truly understand sin, and if we truly understand the holiness and the righteousness of Almighty God, they don't match. Sin is not going to come into the presence of an Almighty God without being destroyed. And so we have every reason to fear. And so when the messenger of God responds to those they come to, what's the first thing they say? Fear not. Fear not. We see it many times throughout Scripture. Fear not. They have to say that because the natural response of a human being is to fear in the presence of Almighty God. It is great to know that the God of the universe, who created light and all that we see and know, will tell us to fear not. There's nothing to fear. Especially in the presence of God. So God makes it clear why we should not fear. He tells them here, says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. we're right to be in awe and be in fear because of sin as we come before an almighty God. But when we now have a Savior and we believe in this Savior, now we no longer have need for fear because we have a Savior, an intermediary, an advocate that goes between us and the Father, who intercedes for us, who came in the form of flesh and lived a holy life, died a sinner's death, buried, rose again the third day, conquering death and hell, sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his saints. The saints, those who believe God, those who call upon the name of the Lord and are saved. So a Savior is born. This made it a glorious night. A Savior for what? Or is it a Savior from what? A Savior from what? A Savior from sin. From the consequences of sin, which we know is death. For the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve broke God's commandment in the Garden of Eden, right? Romans 5:12 clearly states the message taught throughout all of the Old Testament. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God told Adam that if he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would die. Indeed, his spirit did die that day. God made a sacrifice to pay for that price, for that sin. Throughout the Old Testament, we see sin is paid for how? By the shedding of blood. For without the remission of sin, throughout the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so we see that that has to be done. And so all throughout the Old Testament, you see animals dying one after another, sacrifice, shedding of blood, paying for sin, and yet it had to be done over and over again. It never settled the account once and for all. They had to keep making sacrifices over and over until this glorious night. And now things are going to change. Now everything would change. Blood would still be required to pay for sin. It would still be required. But the animal sacrifices could end. Not one of the animals sacrificed ever rose from the dead. Not one lamb rose up after being sacrificed. Not one. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ah, he's also called the Lamb of God. So this lamb, this perfect sacrifice, did rise up from the dead after he was sacrificed. He shed his blood, paid the price of sin for all of us, but he rose victorious and conquered sin and death. So this Christ child, Jesus, was indeed the very Son of God, born of a virgin. His Father was a Holy Ghost of God Almighty. Jesus was born just as the angel proclaimed, and who had also spoken to both Mary and Joseph. So they were faithful, as we see in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. They did as they were told to do. If we continue on reading through Luke, we get all the way to verse 52. This child grew up, and it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So if we continue reading through the Gospels, we know that this child grew up. He walked among men. He, like none other, lived a completely sinless life. Yet his life was ended by man on a cruel cross of Calvary. After he went through this unlawful hearing, this court, this kangaroo court, if you will, and found guilty at this kangaroo court by Pilate. Where in actuality, though, Pilate never found him guilty. Remember, he said that, I find no fault in him. You crucify him. Oh, we can't, you know. So, because of fear of man, Pilate turned him over to be crucified, not because he was guilty. Here's a ruler of the people, afraid of mere man, consented to murder a sinless man, the ultimate in injustice. Yet this was God's plan. He had sent Jesus to die, his only begotten Son. He sent him into the world, and in God's wisdom, he had to pay the price for man's sin. The only sacrifice worthy to pay for that sin, once and for all, Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. So this more glorious night was even better than this day without light, the day like none other, in that we gained a Savior. We gained a Savior. Now, we also know from Scripture that this was in the foreknowledge of God, in the great plan of God before the foundations of the world. So even as we look back on that day, in God's mind, in God's plan, in His purpose, He had already prepared for this. So, yes. But do know this. The shepherds heard the message loud and clear. Right? They heard it. They heard it loud and clear. Christ the Savior is born. So what did they do? They ran to see Him. They ran to see Him. Can you imagine if there had been one of these shepherds that said, "This sounds too good to be true. It's too good to be true. I just can't believe it. You guys, you run along to Bethlehem if you like. I'm staying here with the sheep." It's kind of hard for us to comprehend. That's not what happened. But just think, is that not what we've heard today? That sounds too good to be true. I don't believe it. Whew. Maybe one of them said, "I don't believe in angels. I don't believe in angels. And I don't believe that there's a God. This is all nonsense. There's got to be some scientific explanation for what just happened. Do what you want. I'm staying here." Heard that one? What more do you want? Well, that happens today. Or perhaps one of them said, "Wow, this is really something. This is amazing. I'll go see that child someday, but not today. Y'all go ahead and let me know what happens." You're not going now? You've heard the great truth? You're going to say, "Wait? Well, what if there's not tomorrow? Why are you going to wait? What are you going to wait for? To hear something more glorious? Than a Savior has been born that'll pay the price for your sin? What more is there to wait for? What, you don't really believe you're a sinner? Ask your friends. They'll tell you if they're honest with you. I mean, think about it. Who do you know that is absolutely sinless? Nobody. So if you don't believe it, you're too proud to believe it yourself. Ask somebody else. Ask a real honest person. Okay, so it's kind of foolish to not run to the Savior when you hear about Him. Run to the Savior. He's there. Well, fortunately, we do have recorded that the shepherds did believe. They did believe, and they ran to see their Savior, Christ the Lord, and they immediately told everyone around them all that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They came to Jesus Christ and believed. You see, Jesus did come for all to see and know. But until each and every person believes and comes to Jesus, they're left in their sin and hopelessness with only an eternal hell to look forward to. But we also have recorded that whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. John 11:26. We also have recorded that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except that they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. The shepherds clearly brought good tidings, glad tidings, of all that they had heard and seen. Shall we not do the same? Shall we not do as they did? Is that not a good example? You know the rest of the story. Jesus was crucified. He was buried. He rose again after the third day. He was raised up from the dead, just as it had been prophesied before. The Scriptures teach us that His death paid the price for all sin, for all mankind. His resurrection conquered sin and the grave so that all who believe on the name of Jesus can have life and victory in sin and death. And though He paid the price for all men, it's a free gift. Unless you accept the gift, you're left without it. And you're left without this forgiveness. It's there for all who will believe, but it must be received. So, do you have that life? I know many of you do. I think most of you sitting here do. I don't know who's watching. But do you have that life that comes from believing in Jesus? Have you seen Christ the child? The Christ child, if you will? Not laying in a manger. Not in the nativity scene. Not hanging on the cross anymore. No, He was buried and He rose again the third day. He sits in the heavens with His Father. He sent His Holy Ghost to live and dwell within us, for us to be His temple and to live out so that we would have the power and the encouragement, the exhortation to go and share the great truth of all that we have heard and seen. So if you, obviously, anyone who doesn't have this life, who doesn't have the Christ, needs to be saved. That's lesson one. And then for those of us who do believe, who have responded, who have run to the Savior, who have said, "Yes, He's the Savior, and I accept the free gift of salvation. Forgive me of my sins. I am lost. I am bound for an eternal hell because I know that the wages of sin is death." So those who have believed, what is our responsibility? Be like the shepherds. Go and tell. Go and tell all that we've seen and heard. Let's pray. Father, I